And quote 2 Timothy 2:15. Thank you. Now you can turn to 2 Timothy 2:15. I would like tonight to look at reading the Word. I've been. Some of you are going to probably think I'm harping on this, but I've been thinking the last while about reading the Word and prayer. And if you've listened to the different messages I've preached, you've probably picked up those are two things that I've mentioned over and over again. And actually, the last time I preached, I even kind of apologized about it for talking about it so often. But yet, on the other hand, we've got to pray and we've got to read. It's part of growing. So tonight, I would like to look, and I want to keep this really, really simple tonight. I'd like to look at a couple of ways that we can read the Word, maybe a couple of ways to tear apart the Word, or how to understand the Word. I would love for us, and I'm not sure where you're at with your reading, but if I'm going to be honest, there's times I would probably choose to forget about reading and just continue, specifically on days like today. When I come home from work, I can always find something to do outside, especially on a nice day. And it takes discipline for us to stop to pray. It takes discipline for us to stop and to read. Then on the other hand, maybe we will read, but 5 minutes later when we're outside, we have no clue what we read. We didn't allow it to sink in. So tonight I'd like to look very, very quickly at just a few ways that we can dig into the Word, a few ways that we can grasp what is being said. Second Timothy 2:15. And I'm going to back up a little bit in here. We're going to go back to verse 8 of 2 Timothy 2. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And this is just to kind of get an idea of what he's saying here in verse 15. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. And then we come to verse 14. Of these things, put them in remembrance. He's saying to Timothy here, the things that we just talked about here, the different things about suffering, about denying him, about being dead with him, I want you to bring that to remembrance to the people that you're the church that you're leading. Charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. In other words, I'm going to be careful how I say this, but don't major on the minors. Maybe you've heard that phrase before. It's not that we don't want to look at the tiny stuff in Scripture, but I believe he's saying that some of these things, you're taking words and you're allowing these words to get between you. They're causing issues. He's not saying don't take the word, but he's saying be cautious. And then he says in 15, here's what I want you to do. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This word 15, as I did some research on how to study the word, how to get out of the word what I need to get for the day, the word study came up over and over. We are to study. We are to spend time in the Word. We are to tear it apart. We are to look at it and meditate on it and see what's in the Word for us. Study to show thyself approved unto God. That way we know what is right. That way we know what is approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What's he talking about here when he talks about rightly dividing? He's talking about in the Old Testament, the priests would take the carcass of the animal after the skin was removed. They would cut it down the back, and they had a certain part that went here. They had a certain part that went here. And sometimes when they would divvy this out amongst those that were to get some of this, they knew what to give to each one. And so he's saying, this is the way I want you to do. And by the way, you might think this is just for preachers. No, it's not. This is for all of us. To read the word, to study, and be able to take the word and rightly divide it. In other words, rightly present it. When you meet somebody on the street, know what the word is talking about. Know what's in the word. We dissect the word to study it. And as we study, then we have it with us that we can share with those around us. Does that make sense to you? Am I losing you? Okay, nodding. That's probably meant losing. I'm sorry. but knowing the word inside out. And that's not going to happen unless we spend time in the word. Now I want to ask you a few questions this evening. And it's not exactly that we need answers to these questions, but I want you to think about this. How can I effectively study the Word? What are some ways that I can leave reading or finish reading the Word of God and feel like I have gained something that I can really use for growth in my spiritual walk? Can I see where I've grown deeper in my relationship with Jesus in the last year? What should be some goals in reading the Bible? And I want to open that tonight. What are some goals we have in reading the Bible? What is the purpose? What would you say is the purpose in reading the Word of God?
Help us to be obedient.
Okay, it helps us to be obedient. Maybe it knows, teaches us what to be obedient to. Okay, any more? Communication with God. It teaches us how to communicate how He wants. Like Dana said this morning, He wants our communion, our communication.
It helps me to know what I'm going to be tested on judgment day.
Okay. That's important to know now, isn't it? What Carolyn said, it helps her to understand what she's going to be tested on judgment day. Okay, it helps me to know what God wants of me. What else?
Comparing Scripture with Scripture.
Does
it many times one Scripture will enlighten us on another?
Okay, very good thought. Comparing Scripture with Scripture helps us to know, actually kind of builds, doesn't it, on the next Scripture. Okay, we need it to help us to grow in our Christian life.
To know about His character and who He is and what He has done for us.
Okay, to know God's character, who He is, and what He has done for us.
It washes us from the inside out.
Okay, it washes us from the inside out. I'm glad you said from the inside out. There's a cleaning that happens, isn't it? I have here, it shows us the ultimate majesty of God, of our Lord. I want to look at just a couple of ways that we can maybe use in our daily walk. And these are things that I just kind of jotted down. This is not even close to covering everything, but things that I want you to think about. Number one is pray. I find when I come to reading the Word, unless I spend time in prayer before that, there's many times I don't get much. We need to pray. We need to come to the Father. Whether this is on your knees or whether this is sitting in your chair or laying in your bed, we need to pray. And there's times it seems like we really don't connect a whole lot, but continue in prayer. Continue in prayer until you sense that there's a connection. Maybe you need to open the Word. One thing I love to do, and I shared this the other Sunday, I love taking the book of Psalms. And you could almost take any of the Psalms and open it up and start praying this back to the Father and put your name in there. And start looking at the different ways that God has blessed us. And as you're praying this, start thanking God for what He's done for you. All the many battles He's won. There's so much praise in the book of Psalms. A good way for us to begin our prayer, to seek the face of God and allow Him to minister to us. It's not just a one-sided deal. It's not just a matter of us. How would you like it? How would I like a relationship with my wife if all I did was talk to her and I never gave her opportunity to share with me? It's a two-way street. We share with the Father and we spend time allowing Him to share with us through His Holy Spirit, through the Word. It becomes alive. Maybe there's even a time where I spend more time, days where I spend more time in prayer than I do reading. There's no shame in that. Maybe it's easier for me to spend time on my knees and to connect in that way and then come into the Word. I heard this morning that one of the Sunday school teachers was telling the children, I want you to read one chapter a day this week. That's good advice. Very good advice. I'm not saying you have to stay with just one chapter, but I would a whole lot rather that you read a small amount and grasp it than reading a huge amount and leaving empty. God has one thing for you, maybe, for the day. I don't know what He has for you, but He's got something for you. So the first one I thought about was to pray. We need to spend time in prayer. Number two is something that is probably, I don't know if it's more important in today's walk than it was years ago. But the number two I have listed as to remove distractions. What are some distractions that we have when we read? Telephone. Can you turn your phone off? Sure. It doesn't hurt at all to turn your phone off. What else?
Radio.
Radio. You can turn your radio off. What are some more distractions that we have? Our thoughts. Giving those thoughts to God and allowing Him. Sometimes that takes work. It takes work. There's times I like to read on my computer. Don't allow anything else on your computer but the Holy Bible. Don't go anywhere else. Keep it to that. Don't let any other distractions come in. I can take my phone and I can turn my phone off so there's no texts, there's no phone ringing, there's nothing when I want to sleep when I come home. That's not too hard for me to do. Is it that easy for me to do that when I get into the Word? Or am I afraid I'll miss something that's happening around me? Sometimes it takes, and I don't want to call our families distractions, please understand me here. But sometimes it takes me telling my family, I'm going to the bedroom. For the next so long, I'd rather you don't disturb me. Because I'm going to spend time in the bedroom. And they honor that. Sometimes we need to just shut everything off so we can in quietness connect with our Father and allow Him to minister to us. Remove the distractions. One thing I have here in capital letters is never hurry your time with God. So many times I want to sit down after I prayed, maybe even during my prayer, and I like to speed things up a little bit because I got things I want to do. And we miss something God wants to show us because we allowed our own schedule to interfere. Let's be on God's schedule. Number three I have down, find a passage to read. Maybe you're not like me, but I'm guessing you probably are. There's times when maybe you're not focused on reading through a book. Maybe you're between books, and you're not sure exactly what you want to do. Or maybe it's just you're a little bit lazy. Let's be honest. Today I'm not going to the book that I'm reading. I'm just going to flop open the Bible and I'm going to see what's there. I challenge you to not make that a habit. But I believe being focused in what we want to read, in what we need to read, allowing God to work through us. If we take a passage, if we take a book and we start working through it, we can kind of follow through with it. Now, I'm not saying you can never just find a passage to read. But what I'm saying is let's be focused in our reading. Let's find a passage to read and let's make it a priority. Let's see what this book has to say to us. God didn't put any books in the Bible just to take up space. They're there for a purpose. So let's be focused. Find a passage to read. And if you're a new reader and you're looking, wondering, what can I read? I suggest you begin with the book of John. It has a whole salvation plan in there. I was reading a lot of others, what some of the others that are out there are doing, and a lot of them said, I go to the book of Proverbs. There's so much good wisdom in there. Maybe you're reading a proverb a day, add it into some of the other stuff. But find a place where you can read a passage that you can work through. And I'm going to throw this out. I don't want to offend anybody, but some of us believe that King James is the only way. But I'm going to challenge you with that. Find a Bible, find a version that you can read. I have one that's called the New Living. And when you compare that with the King James, basically it puts into words what is in my center column on the King James. So I don't always have to come back and look at the center column. But there are other different kinds of... translations, that's the word I wanted. Different kinds of translations that are very good, that help us to understand. I always keep my King James. I always have that there as my main scripture, but yet I use others to help me understand more and more what's in the scripture, and it has opened my eyes to a lot of things. And as you're reading, stop and pray. Maybe you come to a verse that, what in the world does this verse mean? It just does not make sense. Stop and pray. Ask God to bring something to you. And another thing I wanted to share is God doesn't always bring that to you right away. There's an older gentleman that taught at the Bible school I went to when I was a young boy. There were some things that he wondered about the tabernacle for many, many years. And he sought God in this. And it took years and years until God one day opened his eyes and he got his answer. He didn't quit. God didn't show it to him right away, but he continued to seek, asking God for an answer. Five things to consider when we're reading the Bible. This is still under number 3. Who, what, when, where, and why? Who is the writer talking to? It's good for us to research. Who was he talking to? What was the issue that he was talking to them about, specifically in the epistles? Who was he talking to? What was he talking about? What were the issues in their church at the time? It's interesting to know that the people in the epistles had a lot of the same problems we do. So it is good for us to read those. It's stuff that we need. Where was this taking place as he wrote this? Where was Paul in many of his writings? Somebody know? Prison. Paul was in prison, doing a lot of his writing in prison. Helps us to understand some more of the things that were taking place. When was the writing taking place? Was it before Christ? Was it after? When was it taking place? Helps us understand some things too. And why was this being written? If we understand oftentimes why it was being written, it helps us to put it into our place where we're at right now. Use cross references. Marcus mentioned that. Use your cross references in your Bible. And see how one builds on the other, how they compare, how they help us to understand what the Scripture means. Use Bible study helps. It's okay to use Bible study helps. Use the Strong's Concordance. On my computer, I have interlinear. It gives us the Greek words. It gives us the Hebrew words. Places that you can go to help us to understand what the passage means. Observe, interpret, and then apply. And the last one I have here, number 4, there was a time when I would have said, yeah, go ahead and give me this. I'm not going to listen to this. But it has proved itself so helpful for me. And that is to journal. Some of you are wondering, what are you talking about? One of the things that I have done, and I'm not doing it right now, but one of the things that I have done when I'm really seeking out something in the Word is I journal. As I'm reading, I have a little notebook with me, and I write out what I'm reading. And I take that and put my thoughts on paper. Sometimes when one of us is preaching and we see somebody taking notes, we know they're getting something. When I write down my notes, when somebody is preaching, when I write down the notes, normally I remember that. When we write it out, it helps us to understand, or it helps us to remember. When you journal as you're reading, and you take those thoughts and you put them on paper, it helps it to go into your brain. It helps us to stick. Helps it to stick. So when we're out in our daily walk, it's there. I forget so easy. But when I journal, it really helps. And it's interesting, as you go back to that journal years down the road, those memories flood back as you read through that. And you can remember, oh, that's where I was in life. This is where I had to grow. This is something God showed me. So journal. Just a quote that I have here. It says, every single thing we need to obey God, to love well, and to live faithfully through any and all confusion and tragedy is in God's Word. I had to think about Larry and Don this week and their families. There's a verse that has been just so fresh to me the last while. That verse is, casting all your care upon me, giving him everything. Life is difficult. Life isn't easy. There's some difficult things that happen in life. But as we cast all our care upon him, we realize that he cares for us. So I just want to bless you this week and hope as you get into the Word this week that it's exciting to you. And if it isn't, continue seeking and praying. The Word can be exciting. There's no other book as great as this book. You've got any kind of story in this book you want pretty well. And they're there for us to read. They're there for us to grow by. We're not quite at closing time. Marcus, maybe you have another song. And then after that song, why don't you lead us in closing prayer, Marcus?